you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics, or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted, and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
This is Jim Paris Live, your source for money and political conversation from a Christian perspective. And now your host, the author of more than 20 books, and the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com, James L. Paris.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the broadcast. This is Jim Paris here with you live every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern, and we've got a great program lined up for you tonight. Our guest will be, in about 10 minutes, will be with us, Dan Pilla, and he's been with us before. He's the guy that wrote the book on how to make a settlement with the IRS, and tonight we're going to get into something pretty interesting, and not just for us financial eggheads. We're going to be getting into this topic of what happens when you have a debt forgiven, and what are the tax consequences of a forgiven debt? This is something people don't think about, but when you are forgiven a debt, whether it's a mortgage that is charged off or a credit card or even a student loan under this new debt forgiveness for student loans, there can be serious tax consequences on that. And I was very excited to see that Dan Pilla has a brand new book out on all this called How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. And if you've never received one of these mysterious papers in the mail from the IRS, it's called a 1099-C. And it's you put it on your tax return, and it's like income. So if you had a $50,000 mortgage debt forgiven, you might think that's a great thing. But now that $50,000 could be considered income to you. And this is a really important topic. And we're also going to open up the phone lines, too, if you've got questions on this or other issues related to settling a debt or an issue that you have with the IRS. So stay tuned. We'll be bringing Dan Pilla on momentarily. And we'll be talking about his new book, and we're also going to open up the phone lines. This is my first live show since coming back from my trip to Chicago, so I want to take a couple minutes and tell you guys about that. It's interesting how this trip shaped up, because it was about 3 or 4 months ago I had made a decision that I was going to go to Chicago last week, and it was for my high school reunion, my 30-year high school reunion. And since I was already planning on going to Chicago for my high school reunion, I thought, why not have a workshop? So we did a big workshop there last Saturday. It was sold out. That was fantastic. But then we did all kinds of other things. I did two media appearances last, would be a week ago Wednesday. I was on Praise the Lord Chicago, and I was also on the Moody Radio station there in Chicago, which I'm always on every Wednesday morning, but I use this as a good excuse to go in live in the studio a week ago Wednesday. And so we did that. One of my cousins has a 50-foot sailboat, so we were able to go on Lake Michigan for about 4 or 5 hours on his sailboat. That was a lot of fun. And then I have a cousin that works for the White Sox, and she got us into the White Sox game for free. We got all kinds of free food and had a wonderful day. Would have been a week ago from today. So it was last Sunday we were at the White Sox game. Got to see a lot of old friends at my high school reunion. Got to see a lot of family and also some neighbors. We grew up, southwest side of Chicago in a very close-knit neighborhood. And my mother came with me on a trip, so it was my wife and my mother. And my mother just turned 70, so it was really nice. My aunt had a party at one of my cousin's houses, and we always do this whenever I come back in town. We kind of get all the old neighbors back together from the old neighborhood, and all the cousins and everybody, we all got together, had a really wonderful party, and it happened to be my mom's birthday, so we got her a big birthday cake, 70 years old. So that was an exciting night for her to be able to see all the old neighbors and all the family and all that. So that was the trip to Chicago. Great time. I came back and I was exhausted. I was so tired, I probably slept for like 20 hours when I finally got home. I don't know if you've had vacations like that where it's so tiring, you're glad to be back and you need to rest from your vacation. And then I've been following the news about this Anthony Weiner story. And this is just getting stranger and stranger by the day. And I guess the guy now was caught as recently as just a few months ago in another internet situation where he was propositioning another young lady over the internet using the internet name of Carlos Danger. This is just weird. This is not someone that should be running for public office. It's probably somebody that needs a lot of help. Should probably be institutionalized for some period of time. But, you know, he's got like 19% of the Democrats in New York supporting him, Anthony Weiner. And, yeah, it's the same guy that was tweeting naked pictures of himself on Twitter a couple of years ago. And he's back and he wants to be the mayor of New York. Saturday, we did a live workshop. That was yesterday. For those listening live, we did a live workshop and we covered two topics that we've been getting a huge amount of traffic on lately. One is how to get free phone for life. We talked about the UMA device and how to get free home phone service for life. We also covered in that same workshop how to drop cable TV and get 600 channels of free television using Roku. And if you missed that workshop, you can get the replay by going to ChristianMoneyPlus.com. That's our new subscriber website. So you have to have a subscription. It's very inexpensive. It's $15 a month, and it includes a ton of stuff. You got to go check it out. It's very, very much probably the best value of anything we've ever offered because it includes unlimited one-on-one access to me, unlimited questions, all kinds of content that's there. We've got a special members-only podcast that we're now producing a couple of times a month. You get access to all the live webinars, the bonus reports. You get access to the recorded archives of all the webinars. All of this stuff is there. There's members-only articles and a lot of neat content, $15 a month. And then, of course, all the money is used to further the mission of ChristianMoney.com. So that's ChristianMoneyPlus.com. And one of the things we got into on Friday in our members-only podcast, we got into this new device called Google Chromecast, and it's a little, it almost looks like a thumb drive, and it plugs into the HDMI port on the back of your digital television, and it allows you to stream whatever's on your computer or iPhone onto your TV screen. And this is sort of a new way, a different option that Google is now offering of getting programming from the internet onto your TV set. And I've been telling you this for about 4 or 5 years, that we're seeing what they're calling convergence now, where you're seeing the technology of the internet and what we have historically known as television are sort of melding now into one thing. And as this happens, a lot of exciting benefits will be there for consumers. probably the ability to pick channels that you want to watch a la carte. You know, if you want to just buy Fox News Channel, you can do that at some point, rather than being forced to take a whole package of maybe 200 channels, maybe most of them you never watch, but the ability to just pick out channels a la carte. What's really happening now with internet television is that it's exploding, and there's so many channels you can watch now over the internet. That's why I have Roku. That's why I dropped cable 3 months ago. So all of that is going on. You can get it. You can get more information on Google Chromecast over at Christian Money Plus, the subscriber-only podcast from Friday. We get into a lot of information on Google Chromecast. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting into this today other than to just say, Detroit, watch what's happening with Detroit. You heard me 3 or 4 years ago telling you that what was happening in Europe, what was happening in Spain and Greece and in the European Union, that was a precursor, that was a preview of what's going to happen over here. Well, now it's happening over here. And Detroit is the first American city, major American city, to collapse financially. And they've gone bankrupt, if you haven't been following the news. And some people might be yawning, saying, big deal, Detroit is bankrupt. What does that mean to me? Well, here's what the problem is. The problem is that of the $20 billion that Detroit is in the hole right now, about half of that represents pension and insurance liabilities. This is people that have worked their entire lives to get a pension, to get health care during retirement. They can't pay them anymore. So this is really raising a lot of questions, and people are saying, well, who's next? Is it Chicago? Is Chicago going to be next? And there's a lot of lessons to be learned from what's happening in Detroit. But for my listeners, I at least want to simply say, don't ignore this. Even if you're not, even if you have no roots in Detroit, even if you could care less about Detroit, this is something that will probably begin to happen around the country. Maybe it will be a number of smaller cities first, and then we might see some larger cities after that, and then maybe even some states begin to financially collapse and have to reorganize their debts, the largest of which are their pension obligations. Because bottom line, let's say it how it is, they in essence promised people retirement benefits and stole the money. They reallocated that money towards other things, and the money's not there. And if anybody did that in private business, you would go to jail. But in what we call government or the public sector, you can do things like that. You can shuffle money around, and there's no accountability. Okay, all of that we'll get into at another time. I want to bring my guest on. His name is Dan Pilla, and I'm glad it hasn't been like 15 years since the last time he was on, because he was back with us on, I believe it was in February, and at that time I had to say, Dan, we haven't had you on in 15 years or something like that. So now it's only been about 4 or 5 months. Dan Pilla, my friend, how are you tonight?
I am very well, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you with us. I was so excited to see your book, and Great Minds Think Alike, because I said to myself, really about a year ago, somebody needs to do a website or write some articles or even come out with a book on this, because we get so many questions about this topic, and people just absolutely do not understand the ramifications of a forgiven debt. So don't we start by having you give us an overview of all that?
Well, sure, Jim, and let me step back and say this. You know, this project's been in the works for about 3 years, and precisely because prior to 1998, you know, it was an issue, it would come up, but it didn't happen that often. Between 1998 and the current time, as you know, bankruptcies have been at an all-time high. Foreclosures are at an all-time high. Loan modifications, of course, a recent phenomenon last couple years, those are skyrocketing. Credit card settlements with credit card companies have skyrocketed. You mentioned the student loan debts. Those are you know, going crazy now, too, with the renegotiations and the modifications that go along with all those. So this has been a real problem, and it's so much of a problem, Jim, that about 5 million people every single year since 1998 are going through this issue, and it's not a situation where, you know, okay, it happens to you in 2010, and now the problem just goes away, because what it leads to is substantial tax liability. And so, to answer your question very specifically, to give a background, let's just use the mortgage example that you gave. You know, you go to the bank and you get a loan for $200,000, and you take that money and you buy a house. When you get the loan from the bank, Jim, none of that $200,000 is treated as income to you. A loan is a non-taxable transaction. And the idea is you have to pay the money back, and so it's just not taxable, right? Well, now you bump along with your mortgage for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years or however long it is, and you pay the mortgage down to $150,000. Let's just say you pay the mortgage down to $150,000, and you can't pay the debt anymore. The bank forecloses on the house. In this housing market, of course, housing prices have dropped dramatically, especially in places like Florida, as you well know, and places like Nevada, places like California. Some places in the Midwest have had a pounding in real estate values. You were talking about Detroit in your opening remarks. Detroit real estate has taken an incredible pounding. And so you've got this house, you owe $150,000 on it, but it's only worth $100,000. You can't make the payments anymore, or in a lot of cases people choose not to make the payments. The mortgage company takes the house back and they sell it for $100,000. Now you still owe the bank $50,000, Jim, but they decide to forgive the debt. You say to yourself, well, that's great. The bank has forgiven the debt. I owed them $50,000, but I don't have to pay it back. That's a wonderful thing. And, you know, this happens to people at the worst time in their life because, you know, if they weren't financially distraught in the first place, they wouldn't have lost their house to foreclosure, right? But what happens now is the bank then is required to mail a form into the IRS telling the IRS that you had income from debt forgiveness. And the way it works, Jim, is you got the $200,000 loan, but you didn't have to pay back $50,000 of that loan in this scenario we just sketched out. So now the bank takes the position that you had income of $50,000. They report that to the IRS. The IRS comes behind that and says, okay, Jim, you had $50,000 worth of income. Now you owe us tax on that income. And so if you're in a 25% tax bracket, 30% tax bracket on $50,000, you know, you've got a $15,000 tax liability potentially coming in behind that debt forgiveness.
So here you are. So here you are. You've lost your house. You're, as you said, you're kind of at a low point in your life financially. And now you're thinking, well, we're in a rented house now. We're trying to rebuild our life. And all of a sudden you find out that you owe $15,000 in taxes on the house that you lost.
Exactly right. And people, they say to themselves, how can this be? This is the worst possible time in my life. We've lost our house. If we had the money, we'd have paid the mortgage in the first place and not lost the house. And now the IRS wants people to pay $15,000 in this scenario. Could be $10,000, could be $50,000, depends on how much was canceled. And people, of course, Jim, don't have the capacity to pay this money. And now here they are, they're cornered by this tremendous tax problem at a time when they thought they were working themselves out of debt. They find themselves right back in it again.
Now, let's address this issue right now, as long as we're using this as the example. If that were my primary home, I understand under the Bush administration, there was legislation passed that says that under my primary home, if I lose it to foreclosure, that I'm not going to have to declare as income the tax liability in that situation. And then it was renewed recently. I remember writing a story on this. I don't know if it was a year ago. It came up to the point where it wasn't going to be renewed, and then it was sort of at the last minute renewed to where this was then going to continue on, where people would get forgiven from the tax liability if it was their own home. Am I saying that correctly?
You're saying that correctly, Jim. But there's some important limitations to that. First of all, let me just kind of fill in some of the blanks here. What you're talking about is the Mortgage Debt Relief Act. And you're exactly right. It was put in by the Bush administration originally, but it was a very limited window of time in which people could take advantage of that. And it's actually expired. It's been extended twice, Jim, not just once, but twice. But people need to know, first of all, that the Mortgage Debt Relief Act, as extended, expires now at the end of this year. Okay, so if you're going to take advantage of that part of it, I talk about that at length in my book, my new book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. I talk about the Mortgage Debt Relief Act and show you how to take advantage of that, but that's going to expire at the end of this year. Now, here's the other thing that's important to understand. The Mortgage Debt Relief Act only applies to a loan that you've gotten secured by your house if the money was used to pay for or improve the house. And this is where a lot of people get into trouble, even with the Mortgage Debt Relief Act, because, for example, if you took a second loan on your house, a home equity line of credit, and you used the money to pay off credit cards and go on vacation or even start a business, well, that's not money that was used to buy or improve the home. And so the Mortgage Debt Relief Act does not apply to that part of the debt.
Okay. So a home equity line of credit, which so many people have done over the years, that would not be forgiven.
Well, Jim, it depends on what the money was used for. If you went and got a home equity line of credit and you added a garage to your house, or you put on a second floor, or you finished off your basement, then that would be considered a substantial improvement to the house, and that would count. But if you got a second loan on the house, equity line of credit on the house, and as I said, paid off credit cards with it, which most people make the mistake of doing. I never advise that people do that, but a lot of people do, as you well know. Or you went on vacation with it, or as I said, you started a business, you did anything with the money, paid for your kids' college is another example. People get lines of credit against their house to pay for their kids' college.
Or consolidate their credit card debt. Now, how many – let's say that this happened to somebody like a few years back, like let's say 5 or 6 years ago. At what point would they – I mean, is there like a window of time where if they haven't heard from the bank with that 1099-C or they haven't heard from the IRS that they're sort of in the clear? Because that's back when everything was hot and heavy and everybody was going through all of this about 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still going on hot and heavy now. It's slowed down a little bit, but it's still going crazy. But the answer is they're supposed to be, Jim. The correct answer to your question is yes, there's a limitation. And what that is, typically speaking, is 3 years from the date you file your tax return. The IRS has got 3 years from the date you file your return in which to make an assessment of additional taxes against you. But here's what the problem is, Jim. If we're talking about income that has not been reported on the return, then in certain cases that 3 years can go to 6 years. So, of course, with debt forgiveness, it's an income issue. It's not a question of tax deductions that you're not entitled to. The IRS says you did not report income on your tax return, and so they are supposed to, or I shouldn't say supposed to, they have the option of going back 6 years to chase that money in certain cases. But here's the bigger problem, and we see this happening all the time, is banks are supposed to send the paperwork to the IRS. You mentioned the form number. It's Form 1099-C. They're supposed to send that form to the IRS in the year the debt is forgiven. But I'll tell you what, Jim, it is very, very common for these credit card companies especially, not so much mortgage companies, but we see it with credit card companies all the time, where a person will stop paying on the credit card, not necessarily negotiate a settlement, but stop paying on the card, and then go through some discussions with the credit card company, and now the company 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road mails the paperwork to the IRS, and so now the person gets this notice from the IRS out of the blue that they owe, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000, and they can't even put together what happened because the credit card discussions happened so long ago. I discussed this issue in the book because that is an error on the part of the credit card companies, and when you respond correctly, you will end up paying no taxes on that kind of a scenario.
So if you haven't received a 1099-C, should you be concerned about your situation if maybe you've had a foreclosure or a debt forgiven in recent years?
Yeah, absolutely you should, because here's the other – there's no question about it. Even if you have not received a copy of the 1099-C from the bank or the credit card company, you need to be concerned about this, and you need to be prepared to deal with it for a couple of reasons. First of all, The mortgage company may have not sent you the copy, but they sent it to the IRS. All right, so now the IRS has got at least 3 years, and in some cases up to 6 years, in which to come back on you and say, hey, you didn't report this income, now we want our money, plus, of course, penalties and interest. The other problem, as I just said, is the credit card companies may not be sending them in properly. They may be delaying 2, 3, 4 years before they send them in. And so now this problem creeps up out of the blue, or it seems like it creeps up out of the blue, because so much time has gone by.
Wow. And, you know, I'm a financial guy, folks. So if you're just tuning in, our guest is Dan Pilla. The book is How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. And I went into this show tonight thinking that I knew some of this. I don't know what I'm talking about. So this is the book right here you need to get. I mean, I thought I knew most of this. I haven't read the book yet. I just got it, and I've skimmed through it. But this is so important. I mean, and everybody's going to face probably a scenario like this in their lifetime. And Dan Pilla, before we take calls here, by the way, our call in line quickly, 888-287-3316. If you want to hit Dan with your scenario, whether it's about a forgiven debt or a general tax or IRS resolution question, 888-287-3316, or send an email to me, jim@christianmoney.com, and we'll take the callers before the email. So if you want to get in first, call 888-287-3316. Short sales. A lot of people say, because we've had this discussion before with emailers where they'll contact ChristianMoney.com and they're convinced that if they go through their broker and they do a short sale, that, well, they didn't go through foreclosure, so there's no debt forgiveness issue or tax issue. But like in this case, we're talking about we're already going into August here. So we've only got August, September, October, November, December. We've got 5 months left. So somebody tonight could be putting their house up for sale, hoping to get a short sale arrangement, which those take months to complete. And if this tax forgiveness, the mortgage relief deal isn't extended another year, and this deal that they enter into for the short sale closes after the first of the year, and this doesn't get extended, the difference between what they really owed and what the bank accepted, that's a liability. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right, Jim. And as a matter of fact, people are deceived by that because first of all, there's a lot of advantages to a short sale. There's no question about that. You don't have to file bankruptcy to get rid of the debt. You don't have to go through a foreclosure to get rid of the debt. So you don't have that negative mark on your credit report. And so undeniably, that's a positive thing. But it is equally undeniable that the bank is forgiving a part of your loan. So if your house, if you've got a mortgage debt of $250,000 and your house is only worth $200,000, the bank agrees to sell it to a buyer for $200,000, and then wipe the slate clean. Guess what? That's $50,000 worth of debt forgiveness, Jim. And you know, between federal and state taxes, that's going to cost you about $15,000 if you don't know how to deal with it.
This is unreal. Let's take some calls here now, and we're going to get into more of the book. We're going to take one call before the break, then we're going to take our break. Again, the call-in number, 888-287-3316. Your questions for tax expert Dan Pilla, his new book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. Dan, the book is available where? Online? At Amazon?
The best and fastest way to get the book, Jim, is right from my website, which is taxhelponline.com. That's all one word, taxhelponline.com. There's a feature for the book right on the front page. So you just look at the front page, you click right on the cover of the book, takes you right to the information on the book and the ordering page.
Okay, taxhelponline.com. And we go to the phone lines now, and we have Joanne, who is in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, which is, I think, where Dan is. Is that right, Dan?
I'm down the road from Joanne,
okay,
in the Stillwater area.
And she's got a question about student loans. Is that right, Joanne?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm a teacher, and I went back for my master's degree and have a student loan out, and I'm considering applying for the loan forgiveness, for one of the loan forgiveness programs. Anyway, what would be the tax ramifications of doing that?
Well, that's a good question. And one of the chapters in the book, I deal with that specific issue, Joanne. If you, there's all kinds of different loan forgiveness policies that the federal government has in effect, and so if you're a teacher in certain areas of education where there's a shortage of teachers, if you're teaching special education, if you're teaching handicapped children, there's a whole list of things, and I've got them laid out in the book. But if you
isn't there the new thing, Dan, where like if you just work for a nonprofit for like 10 years,
well, yeah,
that you can also get forgiveness.
That's part of it too, Jim. You're right. But stepping back to the teacher thing now for Joanne, if you qualify under one of those programs and the loan is in fact forgiven, then that has special treatment under the law. And of course, the loan processing companies don't necessarily know that, so they're going to issue the paperwork to the IRS saying that you had debt forgiveness. You got to come in behind them and demonstrate to them that you qualify for the statutory debt forgiveness, which does not constitute income under the law. And in the book, I lay out for you exactly how to do that and what the tax code provisions are that you need to point out to the IRS that will keep you from paying taxes in that situation.
Okay, very good. This is fascinating because we get a lot of questions from people asking about debt forgiveness as it relates to student loans and what the tax consequences would be, and that's all in the book as well. We've also got, we're going to talk about credit card debts that are forgiven. We're going to talk about bankruptcies. We're going to talk about investment, real estate, all of that when we come back from this break. And Dan, this is a 4-minute break, so if you want to stretch your legs, we'll be back in 4 minutes with our guest Dan Pilla, the new book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. And you can grab your copy by going to taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. This is Jim Paris. And we'll be back in 4 minutes. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. You know, a couple of years ago, I was out in my neighborhood walking my dog, and I happened to notice an individual cleaning out a foreclosed home. And I do live on one of those streets where there have been a lot of foreclosures. In fact, at one point in time, there were actually 5 empty homes right on the street that I live in Palm Coast. So I struck up a conversation with this individual that was cleaning out this house, and he shared with me how much money that he was making simply cleaning out foreclosed homes and how busy he was. And it really got me thinking about how many people could benefit by getting this information. So I started doing some research to really ask the question, what would be involved in starting up a business like that, the business of cleaning out foreclosed homes? And I found an online course that I think is fantastic. I actually purchased it myself to check it out to make sure it was something that I could recommend. And it goes through the entire process of how to get started in a business like that, how much money you can charge, how to bid jobs, what licenses, if any, might be required in your area. And the author outlines the entire process, actually showing you how you can make between $500 and even $1,000 or more per day just cleaning out foreclosed homes. If you'd like to find out more about it, I want to recommend to you the website foreclosurecleaning.us. That's foreclosurecleaning.us.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com. You're listening to Jim Paris Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jim Paris, editor-in-chief of the website ChristianMoney.com. You know, about a year ago, I started getting concerned about the cost of our family's health insurance, literally costing us thousands and thousands of dollars each year, and the cost continued to go up and up and up. And I started doing some research into an alternative called Christian Medical Sharing. And I learned that through a special law, a special provision, Christians are able to opt out of Obamacare and actually get into this alternative to traditional health insurance called Christian Medical Sharing. I decided to go ahead and move into a plan like that, and I'm saving a lot of money. Now, if you'd like to find out more about it, get more of the details to find out if it's for you or not, I've written an article on it. In the article, I give you more details, including I actually mention the organization that I decided to go with. If you'd like to get all of the information on this and find out if it might be for you, check out this website, medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. That's medicalsharing.christianmoney.com. Okay, we are back. My name is Jim Paris. You're listening to Jim Paris Live. And my guest tonight is Dan Pilla. He's been with us before over the years. He's been on my TV show, the radio shows numerous times. And he came back with us in February. It'd been a few years since we had him on. And he's back tonight to talk about his brand new book, How to Eliminate Taxes on Debt Forgiveness. And that's the two-edged sword, folks. If you have a debt that's forgiven, you will possibly owe taxes on that. And that's what this book is all about. If you've got a question about this issue or any tax resolution issue, we're taking calls right now, 888-287-3316, 888-287-3316, or you can send your question in by email, jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com, and we do take the callers first. So if you want to be on right away, there's nobody waiting right now. You can go first, 888-287-3316. And Dan, I'm going to hit you with this question because an emailer from Chicago has the same question that I do. We were talking about mortgage forgiveness, short sales, foreclosures, all of that as it relates to your primary home. But this person wants to know, what if it's your second home? And, or what if it's an investment property? How does this apply?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Act, Jim, does not apply to a second home, a vacation home, or commercial rental property. It has to be your primary residence. And so if it's not your primary residence, you just are not going to be able to benefit from that act. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck with taxes on the debt forgiveness, because as I point out in the book, how to eliminate taxes on debt forgiveness, there are a number of different strategies that can be used depending on your situation. And I'll tell you this too, Jim, just about everybody, and in my years and years of experience in dealing with this, I've seen very, very few exceptions to this. Just about everybody can use one of the strategies or more of the strategies to eliminate taxes on debt forgiveness, even if the Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Act does not help you.
So is this sort of like, okay, if the Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Act doesn't help somebody, then we revert back to the old school Dan Pilla four ways of getting out of trouble with the IRS, or are there other things separate from that?
No, there's other things separate from that, Jim, and that's the beauty of it. You don't necessarily have to get into a I can't pay negotiation with the IRS, or you don't have to get into a installment agreement situation with the IRS where you stretch it out over time. There are a whole series of exceptions to the debt forgiveness rule in the tax code. There's also a whole bunch of court-created exceptions to the rule, Jim, and what happens is the IRS never tells you about these exceptions. They just send you the bill for the taxes because they got the 1099-C in the mail, and they don't stop and ask you whether one of the exceptions applies. The burden of proof is on you to prove that an exception applies, and, of course, taxpayers don't know what the exceptions are. So what I do throughout this book is I show you in scenario after scenario what these exceptions are and how to apply them to your case.
Okay, here's another email, and this one does. We don't know where they're emailing from, but they're basically saying, I'm paraphrasing, that, yes, but if I file for bankruptcy, I can get out of all the taxes if I go bankrupt. Is that true?
Well, that depends on a lot of things, Jim. First of all, if the tax debt is – let me back up. If the debt, the credit card debt, car loan debt, whatever it is, was discharged as a result of a bankruptcy, in other words, the reason you don't owe the money to the creditor anymore is because you filed bankruptcy, that is one of the exceptions that I was talking about just a minute ago. But again, you have to prove to the IRS in the correct procedures, using the correct strategy, that exception applies to you. However, if you think that you're going to just simply discharge a tax liability in bankruptcy, that's a different thing. Because in order to qualify to discharge a tax liability in bankruptcy, the tax has to be at least 3 years old or older. There are a number of timing rules that have to be met. The first one is the so-called three-year rule. So, for example, if the IRS says in 2013 that you had debt forgiveness income, that's not going to qualify for bankruptcy until after 2017. So you got to go 3 years dealing with the IRS and facing collection problems before a bankruptcy might help you.
Now, you mentioned a moment ago, you said like a vehicle loan. So let's say someone gets into a car deal. The car is $35,000. They make the payments for a couple of years. They end up going into default. The car is repossessed, and maybe the remaining balance is $25,000, and the car gets sold at auction for $15,000. So now there's a $10,000 amount of money here where – the lender just says, look, we don't think we're ever going to collect from you. You couldn't make the car payment, so we don't think you're going to be able to write us a check for the $10,000 difference in what it sold for at auction. So they go ahead and discharge that or write that off as a charged-off debt. On their books, they do the 1099-C. And is that person in the same boat now? They've got income from a repossessed car.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The IRS will take the position that is debt forgiveness income. You borrowed money to buy the car. You didn't have to claim the money as income when you bought the car or when you got the loan. And now that a portion of the debt is forgiven, the IRS will take the position that the forgiven debt is income, but there are exceptions to that as well. Obviously, the mortgage debt rules don't apply to that because it's not a home loan, but there are other exceptions in the code. And again, I walk you through all of these that lay out how to eliminate the taxes on that transaction as well.
And again, if for people that are maybe starting to get worried about this, you would know this is an issue if you got a 1099-C, but as you said earlier, it might not come during the same like time window when all of this is happening. So you might have something that happened 3 or 4 years ago, and now the 1099-C comes this year. Is that what you were saying earlier, that you can't just be at peace because you never got a 1099-C?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jim. But on the other hand, I don't want people to start worrying, you know, going to bed tonight saying to themselves, gee, I might catch this disease. You know, this is not something that is just going to show up out of the blue. If you are a person having financial trouble and negotiating with creditors, that's where it's going to arise. And the simple fact that you did not get a Form 1099-C does not mean that the problem cannot arise in your life. If you've got any situation going on with a foreclosure, a short sale, debt forgiveness, repossession, any of that sort of thing, you know, credit card negotiation, all of that stuff, then you need to be aware of this issue and you need to know how to deal with it so that you don't get blindsided by it.
Now, somebody sending an email, this is fascinating. They're saying here that their spouse had a bunch of debt forgiveness from real estate. They're listing all the things here, business loans, et cetera. And they had a joint tax return. And now they're wondering, could they be on the hook now that they're divorcing or they're divorced? And this was during the time when they were filing joint tax returns. Can one spouse create a tax liability for another spouse if there's a joint tax return and one of them like this lady saying here, that she never signed any of these loans. They weren't her loans, but she did file a joint tax return with her husband during those years.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good question, Jim, and that is another area where people get blindsided. You file a joint tax return with your spouse. When you file a joint return with your spouse, you create a joint liability. You both owe the money regardless of who earned the income. And this happens all the time with people have business failures. Husband is out there earning the income in the business, running the business. The wife may have a W-2 job, or she may have no job outside the home at all. She's at home raising the family, taking care of the home. And because they sign a joint return, the IRS comes along and says, oh, the husband had all kinds of income from his business he didn't report. The wife's name on that tax return, her name is going to be on the additional liability as well. So even though she did not physically have the debt forgiveness, it was his debt, not hers, that joint tax return is going to create a joint tax liability, and she's going to need to know how to deal with this issue and to get relief from this problem.
This is unbelievable. I mean, how far-reaching this really is. Someone else here wants to know about after you die. So they're giving I'm paraphrasing here. Their parent died, and they were elderly. They passed on. They're now the executor of the estate, and some of the debts of the parent are forgiven because the parent can't make the payments anymore. And should the estate be expecting tax liability from the income from some of these debts that might be forgiven after this person died?
Well, that's another good question, and the answer is yes. Well, look at
wow.
The IRS can audit anybody with a pulse, and they can audit you if you don't have a pulse. And what happens is when a person dies, when he passes, that death creates an estate, and the estate of that individual can have a tax liability just like the live person. And so, for example, we've got a person that had debt forgiveness in 2013. Let's say they had debt forgiveness in June of 2013, and they pass in July or August of 2013. Well, the date of their death is the day their tax year ends, but now the mortgage company with whom they were dealing sends a 1099 to the IRS, but the IRS is not going to get that 1099, Jim, until February of 2014, right? 6 months later. So now the IRS is going to send a bill to the estate of the deceased person and say, look, you owe us this money. And if the decedent passed with money in their estate, then, of course, it's going to be an issue. And even if it's not, you know, even if they didn't, then the estate needs to know, the executor of that estate needs to know how to deal with that problem to avoid any long-term consequences.
All right, so before we get in, we're going to give a good long pitch here on the book for people so they can get the book. But before we do that, did we miss anything yet? We've talked about what? Real estate, credit cards, student loans. We've talked about car loans. I mean, it's pretty much any kind of a debt that you are forgiven.
Yeah, I mean, let's put in business loans, Jim. Let's put in hospital bills.
A hospital bill. So you're saying if someone negotiates with the hospital and they, you know, owe $20,000 and the hospital says, hey, we'll take $5,000, that now there's a $15,000 income?
There's certainly a potential for that in that situation as well, no question about it. Yep. Any situation, Jim, I mean, let's just paint with a broad brush here. Any situation where you've got a creditor that has advanced value to you on the front end and decides on the back end that they're not going to collect the full value of what they've given you, then you've got debt forgiveness. And that can apply in a bankruptcy situation, a foreclosure, repossessions, defaults, short sales, loan restructuring, student loans, any of those situations.
Wow. Unreal. Now, tell us about the book. It's set up really like a workbook. It's real easy to read, and there's also a CD. Is that a CD or a DVD in there?
No, it's a CD, Jim. And here's what the book consists of. It's my step-by-step guide to preventing and recovering taxes on canceled debt. And when I say preventing taxes on canceled debt, there are very specific strategies you can use to prevent an assessment of this, of the tax liability on the front end, if you understand what the rules and the exceptions are. Now, I say recovering taxes on canceled debt. There's a lot of people, Jim. Remember, I said 5 million people a year go through this problem. there's a lot of people that have already paid taxes on canceled debt income they probably don't owe. And so the book shows you how to get that back. And so I've got strategies in there that can show you actually
how to get a refund. So it's not too late. If you've already paid the taxes, you can still possibly get the money back.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. So I show you my specific analysis of all of the rules, the laws, and the strategies for dealing with any canceled loan situation, any 1099. I give you easy to understand procedures that guide you step by step through the process. I give you the forms, the instructions, and the worksheets. You talked about workbook format. I have created a number of worksheets that your tax preparer probably doesn't even know about that will take you through this process. There are 7 different procedures, Jim, to keep the IRS from taking money you don't owe, and I walk you through all of those, and plus the new laws on home foreclosure, which we've touched on, the Mortgage Debt Relief Act, and I got a special section on student loans in there as well. And then I also show you how to deal with potential tax liabilities in connection with your other aspects of your primary residence. For example, you know, a lot of people get equity loans on their house and they think, well, gee, I can write off all the interest on my equity loan. Well, that's not necessarily true. And there's a lot of tax rules that blindside people in connection with that, and I take you through that stuff as well.
And I think this book would be helpful too, really, for everybody to have a copy, even if you're not going through something like this right now, because it might help you to think about what you may or may not do going forward. For example, we just talked about the idea of somebody maybe putting together a short sale of their house. And those short sales take, 6 months sometimes, maybe even a year. Well, you may or may not decide to do that based on what you might understand your tax consequences to be. You might say, well, you know, maybe I'll just stay in my house and try to work through this mortgage. We're not saying that would be a reason for the deal to not go through, but it would be unfortunate if you didn't factor that in to your whole decision-making process, right, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely right, Jim. You got to have the information to make intelligent decisions, no question about that. And the DVD or the CD that comes with it, Jim, is a one-hour live seminar that I put on debt forgiveness strategy. So not only do you get the book and the information in the book, but you get my live presentation. And all of my lecture notes are provided in the book as well. So you get the presentation and the lecture notes and the research materials that I produced for this seminar.
And how we do this show live, Dan, on Sunday nights, as you know. But our biggest listeners, believe it or not, are iTunes and all that. So you'll probably get most of your response over the course of the next few weeks. And we also produce this as a video, and it goes on 4 different video platforms. Again, for people that want to get the package, which includes the one-hour lecture and all of the information, tell us how much it is and where they go to get this.
Yeah, very simply, Jim, you go to taxhelponline.com. That's all one word. There's no spaces of any kind. Taxhelponline.com. Right on the homepage, there's a very prominent link for a copy of the picture of the new book. You just click on it. It takes you right to the order page. It gives you all the information about the book. The price is $67, Jim, for the entire package. The book, it includes the DVD, all my lecture notes and my worksheets that go with it. It includes the entire package. And, Jim, it's absolutely guaranteed to help. If you get the book and you think this is not going to help me, you can get your money back if you're not completely satisfied. It's a 100% guaranteed product. I absolutely know that this is going to help, and I'll tell you how I know it, Jim, because I've been practicing this for 20 years. These are all the strategies that I've used with my own clients over the last 20 years to deal with their debt forgiveness problems that I put together in this one book to help you for just a tiny fraction of what it costs to get direct representation to help with that, with this kind of problem.
Yeah, and the neat thing about this book is I don't know that there's any other book out that deals with this one topic like this, because if you end up down at the law library, or you end up in the bookstore and you have to get one of these 30-pound tax books and you've got to dig through it to find all of the different rules and statutes that would apply to your debt forgiveness situation, why go through all that trouble when you can get everything laser-focused in this one little easy-to-read book with the CD? So I highly recommend it. The website is taxhelponline.com, taxhelponline.com. Dan Pilla, thank you so much for being with us again.
It's been my pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
All right, sir. We'll have you back again soon. And we're going to take a one-minute break, and I'll be back with some closing comments right after this. Stay tuned.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems. The biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need. How prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
All right, in our last couple
You're
of
listening
moments.
To Jim Paris Radio.
There we go. interrupted by my own announcer. All right. In our last couple of minutes here, I want to share with you something that I'm working on right now. And from the bottom of my heart, you know, we are looking at Kickstarter, ChristianMoney.com is. We're looking at Kickstarter, and we've got two or three projects that we are mulling over to decide what we're going to do. And we're going to come to you, our fans, our advocates, our followers, our friends, our supporters, and ask you to help us to fund some of these projects. I'll give you an idea. One of them is I would love to go out and maybe hit six or seven major cities and put on a 4 or 5 hour workshop and to be able to open that up to anybody that wants to come and make it free and to be able to cover with folks in that workshop how to deal with a financial crisis. I mean, there's a lot of good programs out there. You know, Dave Ramsey, Crown Ministries, Howard Dayton has a new program called Compass. There's a lot of good programs out there in the churches to help people who are in normal, everyday situations. You know, create a budget, start saving for the future, pay down your debts, all of that kind of thing. And that's all really great. But I have a real calling to help those who are in a financial crisis, people that are losing their homes, people that have lost their job, facing bankruptcy, facing foreclosure. And we got a disturbing email about a week and a half ago from someone, and this is frequent. This isn't, this happens every so often. Someone that contacts us and says, I'm going to kill myself because of my finances. And so we're looking at Kickstarter as a way to go out to our friends and say, will you fund us to do a 6 or 7 city tour where we bring this information out to people, how to deal with a financial crisis? You know, what do you do when you've lost your job, when you're facing foreclosure, when you're facing bankruptcy? What do you do when they repossess your car, when you get that lawsuit served to you at the front door? So think about that. Pray about that. You'll hear more about it in the coming weeks. Also, another way you can help us, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. It's $15 a month. All of that money goes to support the mission of ChristianMoney.com. And there's a lot of really great premium information there for you. So we want to invite you to become, you know, one of our first members. We do have our first wave of members, but you'll be among our very first members if you'll go over there tonight and sign up, or this week, ChristianMoneyPlus.com. And it's $14.95 a month. Just check it out. Look at all the stuff you get for just $14.95 a month. Hey, thanks for joining us. We're going to have another live show for you next week. It's the summer. I know a lot of people are on vacations, but we're not. We took last week off for vacation, but we're back on now for the rest of the summer live. This is Jim Paris here, as always, to help you make the most of God's money. Talk to you next time.
been listening to Jim Paris Live. For more information about our program, visit ChristianMoney.com or send an email to jim@ChristianMoney.com. Join us next week for another live program.